Just want to remind us today that Jesus never said, blessed are those who try really hard. I've been a card-carrying member of the Try Harder Club for a long time. Most preachers are. We love to tell you how to try hard, really hard to serve the Lord. There was a family that gathered in a restaurant, and the wife had been through a lot of health issues. It was very difficult and a season of difficulty in their lives. And they gathered and had a wonderful family gathering, and the meal was wonderful and all that. And the husband just looked over at her. She had lost some of her hearing through some of those health issues. And he says, honey, how you doing? She said, what? How are you doing? I can't hear you. Honey, how are you doing? I'm sorry, I just can't hear you. He got a little blustered and frustrated. He said, how are you doing? He said, I can't hear you. He said, try harder. I don't know if you got that. I have a hearing problem, and I cannot try harder. It's just not possible. But yet we often say to each other in the Christian life, all you really need to do is just try a little harder. Just grit your teeth and hold on and white knuckle that situation and try harder and you'll make it through. It's kind of like the Christian life that we're often taught to fulfill. Just try harder and you will arrive at where you want to be. But Jesus never said, it's all up to you. He saved us all from hell. He made heaven our home when he came into our hearts and lives. But the rest is up to us. Oh, really? Not so at all. Read about a deacon who, in another church, who was a good guy, attended church, gave some money, served on committees, and did the best that he could. There was just one problem. He had no fruit that was born in his life, no measure of usefulness in the kingdom of God. He was impatient. He was mean. He was a problem in his family, and there was no fruit in his life. I just want to remind us all today that the fruit that is born on a peach tree, peaches, fruit from a pear tree, pears, and all of those fruit trees that we know of, they bear the fruit that they're supposed to. The fruit of a Christian, if you know Jesus as Savior and Lord, he's in your heart. At one point, you bowed the knee and you invited him into your life. If that is the case, you're to bear fruit. And what is that fruit? Galatians reminds us of it in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that is born in your life is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Do those things describe your life? If so, I thank God for you. You can check out on this sermon. You're done. You don't need to listen to any more. But if you struggle in some of these areas of self-control and patience and all these kinds of fruit that we're supposed to bear in our lives, then perhaps this message is for you. This man that I talked about, this deacon, was mean. He was impatient. He was selfish. But he tried really hard to do better. He tried really hard and it didn't work, so he gave up. Is that where you are today? You're trying really hard, or you've tried really hard, and you tried to listen to all the preachers and all the lessons, and you've read the Bible, and you've tried really hard to get it done, but you've not been successful. Well, I have news for you. You won't be successful because it's not all on you. The Christian life is not all on you to live and to fulfill as you serve the Lord. Here's the lie that we all believe. It's a common lie that we all seem to embrace. It's all up to you. Just try harder, much harder, really hard. Yes, you've been saved by grace, but you are sanctified, you're made holy by what you do. It's all on you to stop being so angry, to overcome lust, to start being more loving, and to not want to sin anymore. Jesus gets you to heaven, but the rest is on you. Not true. Not true. The Galatian church had somehow fallen into that same lie, and to the same trap, but Paul did his best to correct their thinking when he wrote in Galatians 3, verses 1 through 5. He says, "You foolish Galatians, if you're trying really hard in the Christian life and you're just conjuring up every ounce of energy, you're just doing the best that you can and you're white-knuckling everything that you're doing, you're just listen, you're behaving foolishly." He said to the Galatians, "You're foolish. Who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or keeping the rules, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law, or because you believe in what you've heard?" We live our Christian lives kind of like the guy who gets on an airplane and it climbs to 30,000 feet, gets about halfway to his destination. He stands up, walks to an exit door, and says, "I want to thank you all for the ride so far. I got it the rest of the way." And he jumps out. Makes no sense. The airplane was doing just fine, taking you to your destination. Why do you want to bail out now? Let it take you the rest of the way. Many believers have been bewitched and deceived. I'm saved for heaven, but now I must try really hard, really, really hard to serve the Lord. Now, this is not a sermon about works and doing good things. We know what the Bible teaches about that. That's clear as well. Good works are a key part of the expression of our faith. But most of us are card-carrying members of the Try Harder Club, and I believe that God has another word for us today. You may remember these verses in John 15, verse 1 and following. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself." Any questions? You cannot bear fruit. You can't love people that are unlovely. You can't be patient. You can't have self-control with what you watch on television or the internet. You can't. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me, Jesus said. I'm the vine, verse 5. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do, everybody say nothing. Now, nothing means nothing. Apart from Jesus, his presence, our attachment to him, it says we must abide in the vine. You're the branches, he's the vine. Now, the vine of a grape plant is the trunk. It's the trunk, and it goes down into the ground, and we're the branches. As long as we are vitally connected to that branch, to that trunk, we will bear fruit out here. But when we're disconnected, when we're trying to make it on our own, when I got this church thing down, I know how to pray for an offering, I know how to give, I know how to teach a little bit, I got this, I got it. As long as we're disconnected from him, listen, I want to remind you that there's church work and then there's the work of the church. And they are not the same. They are not the same. And so many of us have the God that we want and the God who is, and they are not the same. The God we want is comfortable and distant, and he just kind of helps us and blesses us every now and then, and we just live life the way that we want to. That's the God we want. But the God who is not like that. They are not the same. And we must abide in Him. We must stay connected to Him vitally in order to bear fruit in our lives. I challenge you today to decide to allow the presence and the Spirit of God in you to well up within you and to live His life through you as He wants to do. It is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. He says to remain in me. In the late 1700s, a group of men in Philadelphia signed a document declaring their independence from Great Britain. Today and every day, we need to wake up and say, Lord, I am not independent. I am dependent. I want to declare my dependence upon you. It is a declaration that we can make. We need Him. We have always needed Him. We must have Him in our lives in order to experience the joy and the peace that He wants us to have. Abide in Him. Abide in that vine, and He will bear fruit through your life. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery. He's talking about the Judaizers and those who would want to hang rules and laws all over the people. Laws and rules that they themselves couldn't keep and didn't want to keep, but they wanted you to keep them. Those Judaizers were hanging that kind of stuff on them. And we as ministers, we as churches sometimes hang rules all over you, and we want you to do this. And if you're not doing this and doing that and doing these five things and these four things and these 20 things, we hang these rules all over you, and they tie you up in knots. And they don't allow the Spirit of God to work in you freely and wholly to draw out the giftedness and the talent and the skills that you have to bring to bear in His kingdom. Oh, beloved, I want to set you free today. And God wants to set you free to be all that He wants to be through you as you serve Him in this life. Matthew 11, 29 and 30 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The Christian life may be costly, and it is at times. It may be challenging at times. It may be emotionally a struggle at times, but I want you to know that this passage is true, that His yoke is easy. His burden is light. When it becomes our burden, when it becomes our struggle, when we get so tied up in all of the issues of life and we're not allowing Him to flow through us, then it becomes a yoke of slavery. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Brother Jerry, that's against the sermon that you're preaching today. Oh, not at all. We are to do good work. We are to do good things and to do all the things that Scripture speaks of. But he says that we are created in Christ Jesus to do good work. What kind of works? Which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has prepared in advance for you to do certain things. And guess what? I don't know what they are. Now, I may pretend like I do. I may tell you you need to do these 20 things and these 14 things and all that, as if to say, I'm going to tell you what God has prepared for you to do. But that would be a huge mistake. And if you're going to make me happy, you're going to make the deacons happy, you're going to make this church happy, you've got to do all these things. Listen, He has given you some assignments and things to do in this life. God has prepared them in advance for you to do. Find out what they are and get busy, because His yoke is easy. His burden is light. So be set free today to glorify God in 1,000 different ways as you serve Him in this life. It's a kind of a strong word for those of us who work in church life. Matthew 23:15, Jesus said, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when he becomes one, You make him twice as much the son of hell as you are. We load people down and we burden them with things that we think that they ought to do. And we must be careful at that point, trusting God to direct your life, to get in harness and accomplish what he wants to do. Philippians 1 verses 3 through 6 says a beautiful thing. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will cut you off and leave you on your own. He's done his part. Now it's on you. Now, beloved, get this. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete the work that he wants to do. Any questions? Surrender. Give up. And allow him to do the amazing things that he wants to do in your heart and in your life. I don't want to be a committed Christian anymore. I don't want you to be a committed Christian anymore. I want you to be a dependent Christian. I want you to be a needy Christian, a Christian who cries out to God saying, oh Lord, this day, if you give me breath and my heart continues to beat, I want you to live your life through mine. I want to surrender every aspect of my life, that which doesn't look like Jesus, and I want you to live your life. That's what the Christian life is all about. That's the yoke that's easy and the burden that's light. Everything else gets heavy, and I know what heavy means. Most of us who've ministered through the years, and I've been distressed and burdened and burned out and frazzled and fried like you have, and wondering where my next step is going to lead, and depressed and struggling with what churches demand of us from time to time. I remember looking off into a deep, dark place in my mind and in my heart and just going to take one more step and that's going to be it. It can be difficult when we're trying to make it on our own. But the Lord wants to live his life through us. He wants us not to be committed and just gritting our teeth and hanging in there as much as he wants us to be dependent, surrendered, and broken before him. In the teaching on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor people of Jesus' day were very poor. They waited in some place for some morsel of bread or a little piece of cloth, anything to help them to sustain life for one more day. They were very, very poor. Jesus is not saying blessed are the poor. He's saying blessed are the poor in spirit. Is your spirit in poverty? Do you have the kind of spirit that is absolutely dependent upon God for your next breath and for your life? I want you to know that you are, whether you know it or not. You're dependent upon him. We need him. We need him to give us life and usefulness in this life. Blessed, happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs, for yours, is the kingdom of heaven. But if you're fighting this on your own, you're fighting your home life, your family life, your job life, every part of your life, and it's a tangled mess, and you're stressed and distressed and burned out, I want you to know that the yoke of Christ is easier than that. Yes, you'll have difficulty. Yes, I know it's hard, but he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are dependent and destitute and helpless in order to accomplish and bear fruit in our lives. We must be desperate for God, beloved. We must be desperate for him. The Bible says he is faithful and just to reveal himself and show himself to those who diligently seek him. If you're just searching for God and playing games with church and showing up just to be respectable and kind of liked by a few people, and yeah, I went to church, I can check that off for today. If that's your walk with God, you're missing out on a fruit-bearing life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You need to be a high-impact Christian. high impact, touching lives every day, no matter where you go. And that can only happen as you surrender to Him and submit your life to Him. Got to tell you about Dave Busby, talking about, you know, I've got talents and gifts, and I can preach, I can do counsel, I can do all these things, and I've got, my body is still strong, and I can serve the Lord. I want to tell you about Dave Busby, a preacher, a teacher, a man of God in an amazing way. He's in heaven now, but Dave Busby had polio as a child. He walked with a major gait. He had polio as a child. He had heart disease. He had liver disease. He had diabetes, cystic fibrosis. 90% of his lungs were dead. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, yes. Dave Busby was one of the most passionate, filled with the Spirit, godly men that I've ever read about. And that the author of the book that I read, he knew him personally. Powerful preacher. But when he woke up every day, if he could lift his hands, he would say, "Lord, I ain't much. I ain't much. But Father, take my weakness and use it for your glory." And God did. Powerful preacher and teacher and influencer of people all around him each and every day. Sense of humor, powerful, anointed preacher. You see, God's strength, beloved, is not made perfect in your talent. It's not made perfect in your intellect and the degrees that you may have or not have. It does not depend upon the money that you have or the land that you have, the friends that you have, the influence, your position in life. God's strength is made perfect in weakness, in dependence, and the acknowledgement that we can do nothing useful, nothing lasting, nothing eternal apart from Him. Is it time for you to surrender and give up? Stop holding on tightly to everything and begin to loosen that grip and say, "God, come into my heart, come into my life. I want to bear fruit for you. I just don't want to build a bank account and retire and play some sport or whatever. I want to make a difference in this world. God, help me to do that." It's a time for you to embrace your brokenness, your spiritual poverty, and to confess that we need Him. We always have, and we always will. It's kind of like two boats sitting on the edge of the bank of a large, large lake. One is a rowboat. One is a sailboat. There's a competition. The gun sounds. The rowboat takes off like a shot in the dark. And he is just working and sweating so hard. He is way out in the lead. The sailboat is just raising his sails, raising them up. Begins to catch a little breeze and begins to move forward. And the rowboat is working so hard, and way out ahead. But eventually the sailboat catches up. And because of the wind, it begins to move past. And then far outdistances the sailboat, the rowboat. What's the difference? What's the difference? It's the wind. It's the wind. The Old Testament word for that is ruach. The wind of God. The wind of God blowing in the world and in lives today. I want you to raise your sails, beloved. Drop your oars. Wipe the sweat from your brow and make a decision today to raise your sails and allow the ruach of God, the wind of God, to flow in your life and to blow your life forward and truly bear fruit for the very first time in your life. Life is short. Time is passing quickly. There are people in your circle, your family, your friends, people that you know and love. They need to see Jesus more than they're seeing now. Nothing else matters in the end. the wind of God, beloved, the Spirit of God, the presence of God. Without Him, truly we can do nothing. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. And Father, I pray for each person here. I pray especially for the ones that are striving, working so hard, gritting their teeth every day, in their own strength, with their own energy, their own intellect, thinking they've got it together, they're going to make it, living their lives without you. For those who have never met you as Savior, Father, I pray that they would receive that wind of God, the Spirit of God, who will come in and provide the power to live a life that they truly need to live and make heaven their home. Help them to be saved today. Pray, Father, for we as Christians that we will allow you to rule and to reign and to fill our lives with your wind, your power, your Spirit. For it's truly easy, and that burden is light as we trust you. Help us to obey you. Help us to walk with you. In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet for just a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed.